Okay, let's get into a study of God's Word. We're in Luke chapter 22, and we'll be wrapping up that chapter this morning. Last week, Jesus set up his last Passover meal with the disciples, and it was his earnest desire to share this meal with them because he knew this was the beginning of the last day. This would be the time where he's prepared to become that Passover lamb for us to pay for the sins of the world so that he could have that relationship with us once again that he wanted from the beginning of creation. And during that time, he was, you know, trying to share what was going on, and they really didn't understand it. Then he said, one of you is going to betray me. And then they started saying, well, who could that be? And then they started saying, well, who's going to be on Jesus' right hand when he enters into the kingdom? Because it sounds like it's about to happen. So I'm better than you. And they start arguing with each other. And Jesus said, you guys don't get it. But you have been with me. You have been loyal. And you will be in positions of authority in my kingdom. But it's not the kingdom that you think of yet. There's times of suffering ahead. And are you ready for it? And we pick up in verse 31 where the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren. So he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And he said to him, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you deny me three times that you know me. Ouch. Ouch. You know, I say Peter has foot and mouth disease. I heard something else the other day. He has a tongue that sparks with lighter fluid at the same time. I mean, he just starts saying what comes to his mouth before he even thinks it. And he thinks it's... And I wonder when the Lord said this, you're going to deny me three times, that his heart didn't go back, that he didn't remember when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Ooh. What'd I do wrong? What do you mean? I'm with you, Lord. What is this? Why do you say that? Satan has asked for you that he might sift you as wheat. It reminds me of Job, when Satan went before the Father and he said, hey, let me test this guy to really see if, because, you know, if you take all this stuff away from him, then he's going to curse you. And the Lord says, go ahead and test him. Ouch. Go ahead and test Pastor Carl. Does he really trust you when everything goes wrong? But the Lord said, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Even though you're going to deny me three times, I know your faith hasn't failed. I find comfort in that. I don't find a license in that. Now you're free to go and deny God all you want, and then he still, you know, you still have faith. No. But the Lord has compassion and mercy, and he realizes that there are times where it's going to be so tough that you're just going to slip up and you're going to deny him. But when you return to me, like the prodigal son, I'm going to be there with open arms. And then I'm going to equip you and I'm going to say, go and strengthen your brethren. The Lord is merciful to us. He's willing to bring us back every time we deny him. He doesn't deny us. In fact, he wants to use us to touch others. We have a good Lord. In verse 35, he said to them, when I sent you out without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. You remember when he sent them out on short-term mission trips, two by two? And he said, you know, just bring enough for the day, you know, because you're going to do a day trip. And they saw all these things happening, that they were anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they were seeing people healed, and it was just an amazing time. He said, yeah, we didn't lack anything. You were with us, and it was cool. It was great. Then he said to them, but now, something's changing. But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. This isn't going to be a short-term mission trip. I'm sending you out now. This is serious business. I trained you for this. Get your tools and go. Verse 37, for I say to you that that which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. I'm not with you forever in the person, in the flesh, although I'm always with you. You know, I need to go so the Holy Spirit can come and do a greater work in you. My purpose is coming to an end. The main reason I'm here is to go to the cross. And that's about to happen. And now it's time for you guys to go and represent me to this world. I'm going to the cross where they'll consider me a sinner. I will have done something wrong in their eyes to cause them to crucify me. But remember, they're not crucifying me. I am laying down my life willingly. This is what had to happen. This is what's been prophesied from times of old. I'm going to take on the sin of the world so that I can give anyone who believes the righteousness of God. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. That's all you'll need for tonight. You might need more later, but that's enough. Kind of like, okay, that's good, guys. That's good. All right, just take your swords with you. And it's interesting, they had swords with them still. When Jesus said, you don't need any swords when you're with me. But they had some. And in verse 39, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. Every night that week, they'd gone out to the Mount of Olives. Every time he was in Jerusalem, he'd go there to pray. So this was a normal thing for him. But tonight was not a normal night. This was a different night. This was the night, and of course, the day starts at sunset with the Hebrew mindset. So this was the day Jesus would pass away. This is the day he would be killed for our sins. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray. Focus on God the Father. Focus on the things that I've taught you. Pray that you won't enter into temptation, because things are going to happen here, and it's going to tempt you to deny me. It's going to tempt you to run away. We need to be praying so we don't enter into temptation. When we have our eyes on Jesus, our circumstances in life look different than when we get our eyes off Jesus and start looking at the circumstances of life. Can you relate to that? Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. Of course, Luke wasn't there, but Luke interviewed the disciples. And one of the disciples that were there was saying, yeah, Jesus is right over there. I mean, you could just throw a rock and he could hit him. I thought about doing it, but I didn't think that would be a good thing at this point, because he didn't look very happy about it. But he was right there. And he knelt down, he prayed. And there was something in his eyes. I've seen him pray before, but not like he was praying tonight. And this is what he said. He said, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I think in other accounts, it shares that he did that three times. Father, if it's any way possible, can this cup pass from me? This cup of wrath. This cup of punishment. This is the humanity of our Lord. And I'm not a glutton for punishment, Father. I don't want to go up there just to get hurt. I mean, this is going to be really bad. I mean, he's stressing over this. But in his humanity, he still yielded to the will of the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. Because if I fall into this temptation of avoiding this necessary deed, this act, then all of creation, all of mankind is damned forever. This is why I'm here, Father. This is why you sent me. So not my will, but yours be done. It's interesting, Jesus never sinned. And if he would have followed up on some of these thoughts, he would have fallen into sin. And the enemy would have been perfectly happy to have that happen because everything would have been messed up. But he was faithful. And he was a servant, surrendered fully to the will of the Father. An example to us how he intends us to live. In the power of the Holy Spirit to say no to myself and yes to the will of God. And then an angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. That's kind of cool, huh? An angel came and ministered to him. You can do this. This is good. I have no idea what that looked like. Must have been an amazing scene. And being in agony, even after the angel strengthened him, he prayed more earnestly, so earnestly that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. You think you're stressed? What about our Lord? Man, he could have said, forget it, call me home. It's not worth it. But as Paul said, for the joy that lay before him, Jesus endured the cross. Jesus endured the things that led up to the cross. The reality of why he was here was hitting home. And when he rose from his prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He's not mad at them. He's appealing to them. He's caring for them. He's like, guys, you can't be sleeping right now. You got to be awake. Now, it was interesting as I went through this week, I saw something I hadn't seen before. The last part of verse 45 says, he found them sleeping from sorrow. In other words, they were so overwhelmed with what was going on. They didn't understand what was going on. They thought maybe the kingdom was coming. Maybe it was time for, the battle against Rome to start. But Jesus wasn't acting like that. He was acting like something else was going on, like he was about to die or something. And they're just overwhelmed with the circumstance and the situation and kind of like they have no choice in this matter. This is happening. We're going down this path. How many times do you get so overwhelmed with circumstances in life that you just want to stay in bed? You say, I'm just going to ignore it. And it's going to go away. And Jesus is saying, hey, you need to rise and pray lest you enter in temptation. There is a temptation to ignore what God is putting before us to do. The Lord promises to be with us, to equip us, to take us through all these times of trial. But he doesn't want us to bail. He wants us to stick with him. Now, the Lord gives us rest and we need to have our sleep. But something happens when we get so overwhelmed, depressed, despondent, that we just want to sleep it away. And we just ignore the world as if it gets better, but it gets worse. The Lord wants us to be the answer. And while he was speaking in verse 47, behold, a multitude. And he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before him and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, you're betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? In another version, it says something along the lines of, Jesus came up and said, greetings, Rabbi, close friend, confidant. I'm here to betray you, brother. Now, why did Judas do this? And there have been a lot of theories on why, and one of them is he really believed that Jesus was going to set up his kingdom, and he just wanted to help start it going. But if he wanted to help start it going, why did he get 30 pieces of silver for doing this? Well, what he didn't know is he had to fulfill prophecy, and prophecy said whoever betrays him will be betraying him for 30 pieces of silver. And he did hold the money bags. He was the treasurer, so maybe there was some, you know, money angle. You know, I could get rich by doing this because, you know, if I get him to start his kingdom and then I'm going to be in charge of the money and that, boy, that's going to be a great gig. So we just need to help him along here. Whatever it was, it is what it is. Judas betrayed our Lord, one of the 12 who hung out with him 24 hours a day for 3 years, and he didn't get it. He missed it. Now in verse 49, it says, when those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And before they even got an answer, one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And John wasn't embarrassed to share that it was Peter who did this. Oh, get him, Lord! There again, acting before thinking, speaking before thinking, waiting for instructions. And Jesus answered and said, in another version, put away your sword, Peter. He said, permit even this. It's time. It's time for me to be arrested. This is the Lord's will. This is the Father's will. This is part of the plan. It's don't try to fight it. And he touched his ear and he healed them. I wonder what Malchus was his name, John reveals to the high priest. I wonder what went through his mind. Because he knew this was a blasphemer. This was a false prophet. This guy was a troublemaker. He needed to be taken care of. And yet this guy put his ear back together like that. What happened to his heart at that moment? Whoa. I don't know. I could just imagine. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you didn't try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your appointed time. This is the time God the Father appointed you to do this, but you're doing this in the power of the enemy. It's the darkness. I'm light. You're rejecting the light. So you're walking in darkness. And he could have said something like this. And I just healed the dude. And you still don't believe me. Go ahead, come and get me. No, he was gracious in how he spoke. And in verse 54, they followed through with it. And other versions, you know, they asked, are you the one we're looking for? And he said, I am, the name of God. And they fell backwards. And yet, that wasn't enough for them to turn from their work. They're so stirred up in what they believed had to happen. These things that happened right in front of them to prove God's, Jesus' divinity, that they couldn't see it. They still ignored it. They didn't know how to answer it, but they're still going to follow through with it. In verse 54, having arrested him, they led him and brought him to the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them, and a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But when he had denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another one saw him and said, "You are one of them." Peter said, "Man, I am not." And in other versions, he started cursing and stuff. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean." But Peter says, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And this is probably the toughest part, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter with eyes of compassion, with a heart that was broken. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter couldn't take it anymore. He went out and wept bitterly. "I can't believe what I've just done." Just like the Lord said. And he looked right at me. His eyes pierced right through me. I could feel his love, but I could feel his disappointment and his hurt. Like I said, it's easy to deny the Lord. In weird circumstances, you know, with me, the problem is declaring the Lord to people. And Lord, go talk to that person. And for one reason or another, I say, "Well, that's not really the Lord telling me to do that. That's something I ate last night." Go talk to that person. Don't deny the Lord. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. Now where are we? We're at the high priest's house, right? The representatives of God to the people. People that show how God is merciful and kind. These guys are mocking him, laughing at him, scorning him, just like the enemy does to us every day. "You don't really believe, do you?" Of course, they don't really believe that Jesus is who he claims to be. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this. But still, if you're representing God, is this how you do it? But then again, it had to happen because it was prophesied that it would happen. And it happened. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. Why do I even waste my breath with you guys? I've told you. I've proved it to you. If you knew the scriptures, you'd know that I've been consistent with what the prophecies foretold for the Messiah." In verse 68, "And if I also ask you, will you by no means answer me or let me go? Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Look, you can ask me and I can tell you, you won't hear what I have to say. I can ask you what you think, you're not going to tell me. We've gone through this before. You know, I asked, what about the ministry of John the Baptist? Remember that? You tell me by what authority that he did what he did, and I'll tell you what authority I do what I do. And you couldn't answer me. So I'm not going to waste my time. But here's the deal. If you believe it or not, I, the Son of Man, will sit on the right hand of the power of God. I'm going to be up in heaven on the right hand of the Father. I'm going to have authority. Because I am indeed God in the flesh. And you can believe it or not. And they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? We've heard it with our own, we've heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Can I have the praise team come up? We heard what we needed to hear. We got proof that you are a blasphemer. You're calling yourself God. No man could call himself God. And of course, Jesus, he's not going to defend himself because this is what he needs to do. But the things that he said is, you know, I'm here. I fulfilled prophecy. Everything is happening just like God the Father said. If you guys really knew God the Father, you would know me. And yet you missed me. And this morning, as we enter into a time of communion, it's a good time to remember and reevaluate. Do we believe who Jesus says he is? Do we trust him? Do we put our hope in him? Do we thank him for the work that he's done in our hearts, in our lives? Do we thank him for the price that he paid on the cross to restore our relationship with him? Let's spend some time as we get into the communion this morning. Just a short time, but a time nonetheless to reflect, to ponder, to repent of any sin that's keeping us from him, and then entering in again and partaking of him. The bread represents his body. The grape juice represents his blood. The word of God, Jesus is called the word of God. We partake of him by chewing on the word. Let him change us from the inside out. Father, thank you for your perfect will and your willingness to give up your son. And Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness to do what you were called to do, to lay down your emotions and your wishes as a man, and to yield yourself to the will of the Father. Teach us to do the same. And as we come to this time of communion, would you meet with us? Would you touch each of us in a special way? Would you encourage us and build us up? For what you've gone through is good for us. It was terrible for you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.